Welcome back to another episode of the Instant 99 Podcast, where we've got 99 cards because Commander is number one. I am your Necromancer with all the answers, NecroZack, joined by my two good buddies, Dan and Salty. Gentlemen, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing not too bad. How about you?
No, we're hanging in there. What about good buddy Dan?
I'm doing really good. I had a better week than at most people, but just been busy doing stuff with my business stuff and working lots, so it's been a good week for me. Busy, but good. Hopefully everyone else is doing pretty well. I know that we are talking briefly. You had shared as well on social media too that the week wasn't the best for you. Do you want to say a quick thing about it, or are we skipping that?
No, I think it's important. So if you guys have followed us for a while and you've watched when we've done videos or when I've done any kind of like webcam stuff, you guys should know 100% the Black Dahlia Murder has been my favorite band. They've been my favorite band since 2005. And this week, their lead singer, Trevor, he had committed suicide. And it's been a huge loss in the community. He was a very, very friendly guy, just life of the party. And I think all of us here just want to point out and let you guys know that if you're ever struggling with mental health, please reach out. People would rather see you here than not here. Life can be hard, and believe me, I understand better than most, and mental health is just not something to take lightly, and you should never feel ashamed. So if you're struggling with depression, anxiety, anything, if you just need someone to talk to, always reach out. There's someone always willing to listen to you.
Yep. Let's even send the page a message and we'll chat you up and point you the right direction. It's a hard thing to deal with for everyone, and it really is not talked about enough that things do just kind of get away from you. And yeah, it's definitely a loss for anyone. Music is where you go to when you're happy, so losing someone who's big in the community like that is always depressing.
Yep, it's definitely been kind of a crappy week about that, but we're going to try to lighten the mood here after some, you know, a little bit of serious talk there. And we got a cool deck tech from Dan. Before we get into it, as always, if you like what we're doing, make sure to follow us, like our stuff, all that good stuff. And also, if you're interested in any of the cards that we have, like you see, and you want to get proxies of them, abyssproxyshop.com, promo code IT99, you'll get 10% off your first order.
Also, if you are hearing us on Apple or Spotify, leave a rating review. It does really help us out to get found and have more people show up and hear the podcast. Always a great thing. So if you've got 5 minutes, leave us a review, good or bad. Hopefully good. Hopefully you enjoy things. But I say good and then I make a deck like this. So first off, Zach said a cool deck. I don't think Zach's actually looked through the deck yet. I think he just knows it's one of my decks. But this is mostly my, it is mostly a group hug deck, kind of, not really, a little bit. It's Tivit, Seller of Secrets, and I've named it Hail the Democrasphinx. So this deck is silly from top to bottom, and I just love it. But Tivit's ability, from the moment it was spoiled, I knew I was going to build this deck. Tivit is a legendary Sphinx rogue. He is 6 mana, 3/1 white, blue, black, 6/6 with flying and ward 3, which are really, really good stats outright, like the built-in protection of ward. I like the ward mechanic a lot. Mm-hmm. Tivit has a lot of text on him. Tivit just does a lot. So, like I said, flying 6/6, ward 3 for 6 is pretty great. But Tivit has Council's Dilemma. Whenever Tivit enters the battlefield or deals combat damage to a player, starting with you, each player votes for evidence or bribery. For each evidence vote, investigate. For each bribery vote, create a treasure token. This alone makes Tivit an amazing card. This is a super, super cool mechanic. But then Tivit has another line of text because he's got so much. While voting, you can vote an additional time. This is such a fun deck because, like, first off, the whole point of this deck is, like, it is kind of a group hug deck and kind of an annoying deck. But my whole point is I want people to vote on the annoying things that I do. And there's a lot of cards in Magic that make you vote and have, like, the Will of the Council, Council's Dilemma kind of stuff. And we'll go over pretty much all of them, I'm sure. But I just love this deck. I've played it a few times, and it's been fun every time. I've laughed every time I've played it. It's been silly. You're going to get targeted eventually, but hopefully your playgroup has like a sense of humor, because that ability is really, really strong. In a normal in a best case, let's say you want mana. In a best case, in a normal game, you're going to get 5 mana on Tivit entering the battlefield, which is nuts. The fact that, like, in a worst case, you'll get 5 clues on Tivit entering the battlefield is just a silly ability.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you get your normal vote and a second vote, and then everyone else votes. So in a normal 4-player pod, you get 5 artifacts on ETB from your 6-mana commander. It's awesome. I just really, really love this card. So we'll go into artifacts first, because I've really started building a lot more budget-y in how I do things, especially with clues, because they give you such a cool draw engine from, especially from the command zone like this. Just the ability to, for anyone who doesn't know clues, by the way, I rant about them all the time. It's 2 mana, sack it, draw a card. Mm-hmm. I really, really like the clue tokens. I think they're a super cool mechanic. I love them. But you need mana to do them. So I've really started like just using a ton of rocks, and you'll see that in this 20 artifact list. The lands as well, like that's the whole expensive thing. I ripped a ton of decks apart, as I've said in the last few episodes. So I just had dual lands from it. So don't put dual lands in the deck and then it'll be budget. Or, as Zach said, spend $5 and get a proxy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is the right way to do things.
Yeah. You don't need to. The deck will function really well without it, especially, like I said, we're running a ton of artifacts. You are not going to be hurting for mana in this, and you honestly probably should put some X spells in it. Torment of Hailfire would be a really, really good one, and an honorable mention in this deck is Bitter Ordeal. So I just don't have another Bitter Ordeal and can't find it, that they're all in decks. But Bitter Ordeal should be in this deck because it does so much. So I'll read what Bitter Ordeal does quickly. It is a sorcery for 2 and a black. It has search target player's library for a card in exile that that player shuffles, and it has Gravestorm. Whenever you cast this spell, copy it for each permanent put into a graveyard this turn. So if you're running a deck filled with treasures, it's very, very easy to just be like, I'm going to sack 40 treasures and strip 40 cards out of someone's library at 3 mana. It's really, really strong as a card.
Bitter Ordeal, man.
Yeah. Bitter Ordeal is so good, but it's not really a card you see played, but with how much treasure tokens are a thing right now, it should be.
Yeah, I could see the argument for that for sure.
I need more Bitter Ordeals. Somebody sent me a message about that. Anyways, into the artifacts. I start this list off with a simple Arcane Signet. We've got 2 mana for a tap, add 1 mana of any color in your commander's color identity.
Yeah, that's good. It's a staple.
Yeah, you guys want to just jump back and forth with some of these ones?
Yeah, I'll go first. Here's Azorius Signet. 2 for an artifact. You can pay 1, tap it to add a white and a blue.
Yeah. Then you've got Blink Moth Urn for 5. At the beginning of each player's pre-combat main phase, if Blink Moth Urn is untapped, that player adds colorless for each artifact they control.
We started off with Group Hug. We're helping everyone out here. We're helping us out a little more than everyone else, but that's all right.
I was waiting for that.
Yeah, you're in a big artifact deck, especially with our commander having to hit for the second ability. You can go the blink route for him. I didn't really go the blink route, though. I went like the, I'm just going to bonk people in the head, and if they kill him, I'll have more mana. But I put Coveted Jewel in. Coveted Jewel is 6 mana. It's when it enters, you draw 3 cards. It taps for 3 mana of any one color. That's great stats as well on its face. Whenever one or more creatures an opponent controls attacks you and aren't blocked, the player draws 3 cards, untaps it, gains control of Coveted Jewel. So this is a really, really fun way to politics around your commander hitting people in the face. Hey, you can hit me. I'm just trying to get the jewel back, right? But like, don't worry. Like, I'll let you swing in. You can hit me for 5 or whatever, or for 6, and you'll get the jewel back. We're all good. We're all good to go. It's I really like using Coveted Jewel. I think it's very fun, and I think it is a fun politics card.
I can just see you out here. I can hear you. Like, I've been in so many of these situations with you where you're like, oh, let's make a deal, blah, blah, blah.
I'm simply trying to swing the Demacra Sphinx at you. Come on. Don't worry. You can have the jewel back. Then I've got a Dimir Signet, just 2 mana, and then 1 tap at a Dimir. 1 black, 1 blue, and then also a Fellwar Stone. 2 mana and a tap for add 1 mana of any color a land an opponent controls could produce. We're in 3 colors. Generally speaking, we're probably fine with this.
Speaking of Demacra Sphinx, we have Horn of Greed. 3 for an artifact. Whenever a player plays a land, that player draws a card.
I don't know why I just always yell Pot of Greed when I play this card, but it's really fun. It's that Pot of Greed video that I've cast Pot of Greed, followed by Pot of Greed.
And that's not how it works as a Magic and Yu-Gi-Oh player. That is not how that works.
It's definitely not how it works, but it is fun at all times to say it. I also really like Horn of Greed. I've got some staples of things I like a lot of, and yeah, this is a good one.
Next up, we've got Inspiring Statuary for 3. Non-artifact spells you cast have improvise. So you can tap artifacts to pay for 1 generic.
Yeah.
Oh, that's super powerful in this deck. Wow.
Really good, because clues don't have to be tapped to sacrifice them. So you can just willy-nilly tap your clues to reduce your cost, and then when you're done with them, throw them away for your draw.
Yeah.
Willy-nilly tap and just throw them away.
Yeah, willy-nilly tap it. We've got Lightning Greaves, because as fun as the Democracy Sphinx is, people are going to try to kill him. It's hurtful.
Inevitable.
Yeah. Just equip creature, has Haste Shroud, and equip 0. You definitely want to be able to... If you can swing him the first turn he comes out, it's awesome. Again, you get a minimum of 5 artifacts from when you're doing this. So all you have to do is just, I will swing it, blah, 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 and 10 treasure tokens potentially in a turn is crazy.
Yes. Yeah. That's a lot.
It's so much. Even 10 clue tokens is a lot. There's another honorable mention in the deck is Tezzeret. I think it's Master of the Bridge. It's like its plus is each opponent or target opponent loses life equal to the amount of artifacts you have. That's a great one too, but I've got it in like a Tezzeret-themed artifact deck already, and I just don't have another one. Generally speaking, yeah, I don't really build on what's like the best option for the deck. I just build on what's around me. Yeah, what's kind of sitting in front of me at the time, plus whatever list I've spam sent while I'm driving. So again, as with every one of my decks, there's definitely ways to make it better. You probably can make it better than my deck. You should, and you should let me know what I should change, because I love to hear it.
Speaking of whatever's lying around me, we have Ojutai Monument, 3 for an artifact. You can tap it to add a white or a blue to your mana pool, or you can pay 4 a white and a blue, and Ojutai Monument becomes a 4/4 white and blue dragon artifact creature with flying until end of turn.
This has actually saved my life a few times.
I believe it. It's easy to forget about.
Yeah, it just sits there, and I've got so many. We already have a lot of mana rocks, and again, we've got all those treasures. It mm-hmm. is nice to just crew it up sometimes when somebody tries to take... They lead an insurrection against the Democracy Sphinx, and I won't stand for it.
Oh my gosh. Well, it's innocuous, right? That's the fun part.
I love things like that just sit on the board that you forget about.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, we've got Orzhov Signet. 2 for artifact. Tap 1 and tap it to add Orzhov or a white and a black.
I like the next one, too. It's fun group hug stuff.
We'll read it,
Dan. Yeah. Otherworld Atlas, 4 mana. You tap it, put a charge counter on Otherworld Atlas. Tap it, each player draws a card for each charge counter on Otherworld Atlas. I'm just trying to help everyone draw.
See, looking through like what we've done so far, it's actually group hug, and that scares me for when it actually just turns and is one of your decks.
It's all group hug. It's all friendly stuff. And the fun thing is, exactly like you were just saying, it's going to play like this for the first 3 or 4 turns. We've got a ton of low mana artifacts, and it just looks like I'm just pumping out artifacts. That's all we're trying to do in the early game is get our mana rocks. A 6 mana commander in not green is already kind of high. We're not getting there playing 1 mana a turn, especially mm-hmm. with the other nonsense of cool stuff I like to play. Like, we got to get the Democracy Sphinx out fast.
Oh my gosh.
I'm just trying to figure out if this is like your Hinata group hug.
Not as bad, but like it's got some cool things in it. We also have a Soul Ring. See? Fun. We got one tap for double. This is a MVP card, Zach. You want this one?
Yeah, I'm gonna take it. It's Dryonic Resonator. It's 2 for an artifact. You can pay 2 and tap it. You copy target triggered ability you control. You may choose new targets for the copy.
Yeah, that's really good.
And it has the new art.
This as well, because let's say that we're in a pod right now. Just imagine the world with us. Slothy has no flyers, and I bang Slothy in the face for 6 mana or 6 damage with my Democracy Sphinx. I pay 2 extra. Now I get 2 votes, so I'm going to vote for treasure for both of me. So for 2 mana, I now have 4 treasures, and then Zach gets to vote, Slothy gets to vote, and our unnamed fourth player gets to vote. this is awesome. The fact that like everyone is forced to like take two votes in a worst case, like boohoo, I get, what would that be? Six treasure or six clues? Yeah, I'll take it. Yeah, I'll take six clues and four mana at two. It's, oh, Strionic Resonator is awesome. I love this ability from the command zone.
Yeah,
it's very good.
We also have the Swiftfoot Boots, because again, protection. Two mana, it's one to equip, Hexproof, and Haste. The Haste is good, but the Hexproof is really, really good. This one, I've also got to take the next one. You can't make a clue deck without Tamio's Journal. I don't know what to tell you. it's a card that comes with it, you know?
Yeah.
If you look on the back of any Tivit card you pull, this will be glued to it. It's Tamio's Journal, 5 mana, legendary artifact. Beginning of your upkeep, investigate. You put a colorless clue artifact on the battlefield with 2, sack it, draw a card. And then it has a tap, sack 3 clues, search library for card, put that card in your hand, then shuffle. This is just a very fair tutor. I really like this card.
Yeah, it's very sweet for these kind of builds, for sure.
It doesn't. I could have stocked the deck up with like my 1 mana nonsense tutors, but that doesn't really feel fun, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a fair tutor. It's 5 mana. I'm throwing away clues. Who doesn't like it? And speaking of things, people like Temple Bell. Everyone's drawn a card. Everyone's happy. Go ahead.
You pay 3 and then make the table happy.
Yeah, exactly. But good clean group hug fun. I don't know. My brain stopped working there.
You had me believe in you for a second.
All right, the next card is not quite as group hug. I will give you that. And I actually didn't realize how silly busted it is in this deck, but it does technically let you go infinite pretty easily. I'll read it. So it's Time Sieve. If someone at the table doesn't have a blocker, you'll just take infinite turns. Or if you're Rogue's Passage, for instance. Time Sieve is sacrifice 5 artifacts, take an extra turn after this one. I just put this in the deck initially because I was like, oh, like that's cool. I've got like treasure tokens to throw away. However, as I've mentioned 5 times in the episode already, every time he enters the battlefield or hits a player, you get 5 artifacts. So you get an extra turn every time he hits a player. And then if you hit that player, you can already hit that player again. And it's, yeah, Time Sieve is a pretty silly card in the deck.
Yes.
Yeah. This next one's kind of mean as well. Trailblazer's Boots for 2. Encrypted creature has non-basic land block, so it's unblockable as long as defending player controls a non-basic land. It's got equipped 2.
Yeah.
I love Trailblazer Boots.
Yeah. Very rarely are people not going to control a non-basic land, even if it's just Command Tower.
We'll be right back.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At the Gaming Blender, we take randomized genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM. Then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off? The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out the Gaming Blender on all your favorite podcast platforms now.
This one definitely does a lot.
Mm-hmm. And running out our artifacts, we have Wishclaw Talisman. I actually really think this card's cool in this deck. It's 1 in a black for an artifact. It enters the battlefield with 3 wish counters on it. You can pay 1, tap it, remove a wish counter from Wishclaw Talisman. You search your library for a card, put it in your hand, and shuffle your library. An opponent gains control of Wishclaw Talisman. You can activate this ability only once. Oh, only during your turn, sorry.
Yeah. I love this card.
Yeah.
And again, the whole point of this deck is it's my pseudo-democracy deck, so... it's really fun to vote on who I pass it to, and maybe they'll go against me. But generally speaking, it's like I'll vote like, hey, like who do you guys think should get this? Like who wants the answer? I love table politics, right? And the whole point of this deck is stupid table politics,
bad politics,
yeah.
bad politics.
The Democracy Sphinx. So really quickly, I have 1 Planeswalker in the deck. We've got Tezzeret Artifice Master, 3 double blue. 5 loyalty starting, +1, create a colorless Thopter with flying. That's great, protects itself and protects me from the revenge. It's 0 is actually what I use this card for. It's draw a card. If you control 3 or more artifacts, draw 2 cards instead. That's just a great 0 ability to be able to use every turn. And then it's minus nine if you ever actually want to get to it. It's you get an emblem with at the beginning of your end step, search your library for a permanent, put it on the battlefield, then shuffle. This is not so much what I'm doing with this one. Like, there's like cool things to get, but that's not really what this deck is functioning on. I just really like the zero mana, draw two or more cards, and I didn't want to use Jace's brainstorm kind of draw. I just wanted to draw raw cards.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Don't want to, like, fate slay yourself.
Yeah, we'll go into our enchantments because it's a short section as well, and I like it.
I like it.
I like it a lot. Go ahead, yeah.
Yeah, I'll take the first one because it's super powerful. It's Anointed Procession. Three and a white for an enchantment. If an effect would create one or more tokens under your control, it creates twice that many of those tokens instead.
Demacra Sphinx.
Seems fair.
Yeah, it's pretty silly. It's very strong.
It's very strong. Holy crap.
So this with the Demacra Sphinx and Strahdnik Resonator would get you a lot of mana.
Yeah, at least eight for me. And again, it's really fun to get the... My favorite thing to do, and keep in mind that this is who I am as a person, my favorite thing to do is to just defeat the table mentally. So I like to just tell people, just give me the treasures. I already have 30 of them. What's 10 more? And everyone's like, fine, just take your treasure. And I'm like, all right, we're good. That's the other thing is, like, you do have group hug things in it. It's Temple Bell. I'll get everyone to draw a card if everyone votes for these. I just want some more treasures. And I tell people I've got no X spells in here. There's nothing crazy coming with the treasures. I just like to hoard it like a silly dragon.
Yeah, fair enough.
But sometimes it's just fun to just break the will of the table.
You're a terror, dude.
This next one is one of the win cons of the deck, because there's actually not that many, minus beating people with the Demacra Sphinx. Mechanized Production, two double blue, enchant artifact you control. Beginning of your upkeep, create a token that's a copy of enchanted artifact. Then if you control eight or more artifacts with the same name as one another, you win the game. This is a pretty easy way to win the game in a deck that makes you potentially five of them every time your commander swings.
Yeah, are you just enchanting clues or treasures?
Yeah. Sometimes I do it on like things like the Horn of Greed kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like sometimes I'll do it on... I really do like to do it on Coveted Jewel as well, but people usually don't let that nonsense stand.
Hey guys, it's group hug. If I get eight more of these, we can start over. It'll be fun.
Well, even once you get three of them out with the Mechanized Production, or like let's say I've got my Anointed Procession out, we make the second token. So we've got, we've got three of them on the first turn that I swing with this. That would untap, you draw nine and have nine available mana. You're getting swung at for sure every turn by everyone.
Oh my gosh.
Speaking of getting swung at by everyone, this is one of my favorite revenge cards that's come out of the new set, and I love this card. It's Public Enemy, it's two and a blue, an enchantment aura, enchant creature, all creatures attack enchanted creature's controller each combat if able. When enchanted creature dies, draw a card. This is an awesome card to keep people away from me.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, we often need to keep people away from me how I play.
I just love the way that you explain everything. Oh my gosh. All right. Next we have the Antiquities War. It's a three and a blue for a saga. Chapters 1 and 2, you look at the top card of your... top five cards of your library. You may reveal an artifact card from among them, put it in your hand, and put the rest on the bottom of your library in a random order. Then chapter 3, artifacts you control become artifact creatures with power-based toughness 5/5 until end of turn.
Yeah. It's very fun to kill people with clue tokens. It doesn't matter if it's Mechanized Production. Doesn't matter if it's 5/5s. It's just fun to kill people with clues.
Yeah, fair. And rounding out the enchantments is Witness Protection for a blue enchant creature. Enchanted creature loses all abilities and is a green and white citizen creature with base power and toughness. 1/1 named legitimate business person.
I love how stupid this card is.
Shout out to my best friend, Benson.
Oh, I never get over how dumb this card is. Witness Protection is so funny.
Oh my gosh.
We've got a, we'll do our, again, We've gone over our artifacts. We've got 20 enchantments. We've got 5 planeswalker. 1. We're going to go into our creatures, which has 13, and is now you'll start to get a little bit of a better idea of who I am as a person. We'll start it off with Ballot Broker, 2 and a white for a 2/3 human advisor. And while voting, you may vote an additional time. Yep, this is what we want. Demacra Sphinx.
Yeah.
I really, like I said, I love the vote mechanic of this.
It's very cool.
Speaking of that, Zach, you want this next one? Yeah.
Sure. It's Brago's representative. It's 2 and a white for a human advisor, 1/4. While voting, you get an additional vote.
Democra Sphinx.
Next up, we've got Braid's Conjurer Adept, 2 double blue for a 2/2 legendary human wizard. At the beginning of each player's upkeep, that player may put an artifact, creature, or land card from their hand onto the battlefield. Group hug.
Yeah, that's real group hug. I'm helping everyone out.
Group hug. Group hug.
Group hug with Daniel. The next one. 4 double white for a 5/5 flying angel. At the beginning of your end step, choose a creature card in an opponent's graveyard. Then that player chooses a creature card in my graveyard. I can return those cards to the battlefield under their owner's control. Nothing says I can't bribe people. Nothing says I can't say, like, hey, bring my Brago's representative back or I will blow your cards up. Nothing stopped me from doing that. It says that they have to choose. I'm giving them the choice. The illusion of choice. Democracy. We're learning the life.
Okay.
Zach, you want to take the next one?
It's me after we've played this deck against me once. It's Grudge Keeper. It's 1 and a black for a 2/1 zombie wizard. Whenever a player finishes voting, each opponent who voted for a choice you didn't vote for loses 2 life. What the heck?
What's really, really fun about this is I get 2 votes. So if I hit someone with Tivit, I can just be like, I'll take a treasure and a clue. Vote accordingly.
You're such a jerk.
I love it. I also love that your defiance is noted.
Next up, we've got Keskit the Flesh Sculptor. 2 and a black for 1/3 legendary human artificer. Tap it to sacrifice 3 other artifacts and or creatures. Look at the top 3 cards of your library, put 2 of them in your hand, the other into your graveyard, and it's got partner, but that doesn't really matter in this deck.
Yeah.
I love Keskit.
I really want to get a poster of that art.
Keskit is awesome.
He needs a pirate hat on him still, though.
Yeah. He is an honorary pirate with Dargo.
Yes. Next card, which I play a lot of actually, is Magister of Worth. It's 4 white and a black for a 4/4 angel with flying, and it has Will of the Council. When Magister of Worth enters the battlefield, starting with you, each player votes for Grace or Condemnation. If Grace gets more votes, each player returns each creature card from their graveyard to the battlefield. If Condemnation gets more votes, or the votes are tied, destroy all creatures other than Magister of Worth.
Yeah.
Don't sound so proud.
Democracy! Oh man, I love this. I love this deck. It's super fun. Yeah. But yeah, Magister of Worth is awesome. It's really good to bring things back. It's just a nice politics card. To be honest.
And if you've got things like Ballot Broker and Brago's Representative, you can just choose what's done.
There's Coercive Portal should also be in the deck. It's let me go back to that one. I couldn't find one. Everywhere I went, I couldn't find one. And again, I play a lot of stupid decks like this, so I just didn't take it out of those ones. They haven't been ripped apart yet. Coercive Portal is an artifact that should be in the deck again. It's Will of the Council. At the beginning of your upkeep, starting with you, each player votes for Carnage or Homage. If Carnage gets more votes, sack it and destroy all non-land permanents. If Homage gets more votes or the vote is tied, you draw a card. That's a really, really good card to have in this deck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Got a lot of crazy voting going on.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt that. And then also, this next card is just really cool. I just really like this card from the new set. I really, really like the card. Master of Ceremonies. 3 and a white for a Rhino Druid, 3/4. Begin of your upkeep, each opponent chooses money, friends, or secrets. For each player who chose money, you and that player each create a treasure token. For each player who chose friends, you and that player each get a 1/1 green and white citizen token. And for each player who chose secrets, you and that player each draw a card. It's just a great card.
It's a very good card. And also, yeah. I absolutely love where Wizards like design team was for all these cards. Like the names that they've gave like for the voting is just hilarious. They're so good.
I really, really do like this. I wish this counted as an official vote and I got to vote an extra time every time I voted because I vote with every player. I guess everyone else votes. I don't vote this time. But it's a really, really cool... A Helm of the Host would be really good in this deck too. You've got the mana to get it on and there's a lot of cool things like getting you extra stuff. Like it would really be good. But Master of Ceremonies is just a really, really fun card in any kind of deck.
Yeah, I would agree.
Speaking of fun cards...
Oh my gosh.
Zach?
Slothy, this is you.
Okay.
Yep, this is Slothy.
Yeah. So next up is Notion Thief. 2 blue and a black for a 3-1 human rogue with flash. If an opponent would draw a card except the first one they would draw in each of their draw steps, instead that player skips that draw and you draw a card.
Yeah, we're just helping. I'm helping keep it light and fun at the table.
I don't know what you mean. This is me, Zach.
It's you're and Dan's power level.
Notion Thief is great.
Yeah. Speaking of absolute monsters, we have Phage the Untouchable, 3 quadruple black for a 4/4 legendary creature, avatar minion. When Phage the Untouchable enters the battlefield, if you didn't cast it from your hand, you lose the game. When Phage deals combat damage to a creature destroyed, that creature can't be regenerated. And when Phage deals combat damage to a player, that player loses the game.
We've got access to so much mana in this deck that Phage isn't hard to cast.
Yeah.
And from the artifact section, we have non-basic landwalk.
Spoiler, you do have a Rogue's Passage in here.
There's always a Rogue's Passage. My commander needs to hit people. The Democracy must, he's coming through.
There's always been a Rogue's Passage.
Yeah. Phage is a really cool card, and you don't really see Phage played very often because it's really easy to die playing Phage.
It is. It's very easy to die.
I have no end the turn in this deck. No functional end the turn, at least. And yeah, it's Phage is cool, but yeah, we'll get back into her later. We've got Shakedown Heavy, another new card, which I really, really like. It's 2 and a black for a 6/4, which is silly stats, with Menace. When it attacks, defending player may have me draw a card. If they do, untap Shakedown Heavy and remove it from combat.
Pretty sweet.
I love that one.
I'm sorry, I was laughing at the next card.
Don't you judge me. Go ahead.
Next one is Shimmer Dragon, 4 double blue for a 5/6 dragon. With flying, as long as you control 4 or more artifacts, Shimmer Dragon has hexproof, and tap 2 untapped artifacts you control and draw a card.
Shimmer Dragon go brrr.
Jiminy Christmas, Dan.
Yeah, it's a really, really cool card. Like I said, those clues tap for, everyone's going to give me clues. No one is really going to give me treasures until I have like 40 treasures, and then everyone realizes I'm just trying to stockpile treasures.
Yeah.
But the ability to tap my clues is awesome.
You say so.
If you insist.
And then a true group hug card in the deck is Skycrier. 1 and a white for a bird citizen, a 1/1 flying lifelink. Those are pretty cool stats for 2 mana. Then it has 3 and a white, you and target opponent each draw a card. What's not friendly about that?
I don't know. I'm sure there's some way you will make this not friendly.
Well, no, Notion Thief makes me draw 2.
There it is.
But, oh, white card draw.
Yeah. But that's neither here nor there. So we'll go into, like, I love how stupid this deck is. Slothy was right. We do have, in the land section, we've got a Rogue's Passage because we need one.
Yeah.
I've got, like, pretty basic. I'll just rip through them, like a Command Tower, Evolving Wilds. I've got my shocks, like Godless, Shrine, Hallowed Fountain, blah, blah, blah. I really do like the dual artifact things. So I've got the black blue one in there. Like it's a pretty basic list. I don't think anything else does anything important.
So I saw those lands as well, and I was surprised there were 2 cards that we didn't see in the artifact section or the enchantment section. Like, I'm surprised you didn't play like All That Glitters or I can't think of what the artifact is. It's the thing that goes on the head, and you can attach it for 2 black, and it gets +1, I think, +0 for each artifact you control.
You could really play anything
with what?
I think it's that one.
Someone at home's yelling at the podcast. Yeah,
cranial plating.
Cranial plating. There it is. Yep.
You could really easily kill people with this, like Commander, because again, you're gonna swing the Democracy Sphinx at people.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna happen. Let's not be silly. It's you want this ability to trigger as much as you can. I can't say enough how much you're going to swing this commander. It's one that you want on the board. And it kind of like the whole reason for killing Golos off in like commander was like, oh yeah, when he enters, you go get a land, and then it reduces his casting cost by 1. But every time I cast Tivit, I'm going to get 2 mana. So I'm just getting the command tax at a minimum, plus whatever anyone else votes for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really, really good, and like the more extra vote things I have out, the better. But yeah, like, and all the glitters would just let you steamroll the table with even the 1-1 thopters that Tezzeret makes, and all the glitters would kill people with that. You could kill people with an Ornithopter of Paradise with all the glitters.
Yeah. So surprised I didn't see you put it in here.
This deck's about democracy, Zach.
No, this deck is about the illusion of democracy.
And speaking of democracy, by the way, a Sakashima would have been great in the deck too. It's good in every deck. Sakashima's so good.
Yeah.
I wish I had more. So we go into our instance now. We've got 11 instants. It's not a super impressive one. I don't really play counterspells. If most people haven't noticed, that's not really like my playstyle. I play all gasoline, and if anyone has any counterspells at all, they can generally shut me down, but I don't know. But this is one that I like because it just does everything I want in this deck, and it's an offer you can't refuse. It's 1 blue, counter-target, non-creature spell. Its controller gets 2 treasure tokens. That's, I think, the most group hug counterspell there is.
Yeah, I think it's good. I have no complaints about that card.
Yeah, with the group hug in mind, Zach, you want this next one?
Yes, we have Baleful Mastery. It's 3 and a black for an instant. You can pay 1 and a black rather than pay the spell's mana cost. If the 1 and a black cost was paid, your opponent draws a card. And you exile a target creature or planeswalker.
Yeah.
This card's sick. I really like that card.
Next up, we've got False Cure, 2 black. Until end of turn, whenever a player gains life, that player loses 2 life for each 1 life he or she gained.
It's a cool card. Sometimes people gotta die. There's some decks I can't get through without killing this way, and it is really funny to see people like, oh, gain 40 life, you'll lose 80.
Yeah.
I've got nothing on that, sorry.
Zach, I need you to take the next one.
Yeah, I figured it was either going to be you or me. We have Illusion of Choice. It's 1 blue for an instant. You choose how each player votes this turn, draw a card.
This is amazing in this deck.
It's so stupid.
This is amazing in this deck. It's a 1 mana draw card, which is already pretty solid, to be honest, at instant speed. I choose how each player votes this turn. Not this vote, this turn. So again, if I have my Sphinx out, he enters the battlefield this turn. Everyone's voting treasures. And now he's swinging a Slothy and everyone's voting treasures. And then I'm going to play any of my other, like, I play Magister of Worth and everyone's voting how I want. This is such a good card in this deck.
Yeah, it's so powerful.
Oh, it's really, really good. Illusion of Choice is such a cool card. And it's 79 cents. That's my favorite thing about this. A lot of these cards are junk cards that cost no money. Like my Ballot Broker, 35 cents. Braggo's Representative, 39 cents. Like most of these Will of the Council cards are not expensive cards. There's one that's obviously expensive. We'll get to that card. Boo-hoo. Get an extra turn, scroll up. But other than that, like it's such a good card. Like Illusion of Choice is so fun. I've always wanted to. I was starting to make like a Kenrith deck that had like this stuff, but this is what I was looking for the. I love when Wizards prints me a commander that does something silly that I like.
Yeah, and kind of along cards being relatively cheap. This deck was like 2,200, but 1,900 that is in the land base.
Yeah, exactly. If you just don't put an Underground Sea, a Tundra, and a Savannah in the deck, it's like incredibly affordable.
Yeah, or even if you've got like one of the tap lands, take a Sharpie to it.
Honestly, Underground Sea. I say it nonstop. Use those Kaldheim Snow Duels as real dual lands. Just they don't come in tapped. You only get one set. You can't play both. You can't have two sets of duels in your deck. But yeah, just play them as normal untapped ones. That's how the community should at large respond, so that people can just like play the game and have more fun.
Yeah, it shouldn't be, oh, you've got, or I've got more money than you, so I can have better cards and you can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
That's not how it should be.
Yeah, and like I said, like this, I just build with what's around me, and I took a bunch of decks apart.
Yeah.
I had these around me and stuff. I wouldn't go, spoiler alert, I'm not going out and spending $2,200 on a deck. I like, this is a pretty budgety deck, minus that. Like, if you just ignore my dual lands, you can really build this deck and have a lot of fun with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, what's the... It is 1979 is the land base. So just ignore that, and you've got, what, like a $300 deck?
Under $300 for the entire rest of it.
Yeah.
And you could get rid of one specific card that we have yet to talk about yet, and even cheaper.
Yeah. This one, the next one, I don't really know why I like this. I think it's fun. Until end of turn, target artifact or creature becomes a 4/4 angel artifact and gains flying, draw a card. Sometimes I just like to animate a creature. I like the draw. Pardon me again. I like the draw of, I just like the ability to draw cards. So,
yeah.
And turning a clue into an angel to save me, my angelic savior, is not bad.
Next up, we've got Slip Out the Back. It's called Blue.
Infuriates me. I love it.
Put a +1/+1 counter on target creature. It phases out.
That's so good.
It's a really good card.
So thematic. Next, we have one of my favorite cards, Soul Shatter. 2 and a black for an instant. Each opponent sacrifices a creature or planeswalker with the highest converted mana cost among creatures and planeswalkers they control. Pretty good.
This next card is obnoxiously annoying. So if someone tries to counterspell something of mine, I go to play like a cool card. I try to Soul Shatter the table, for instance. And then Slothy hits me with a counterspell. Split Decision is amazing. So I target Split Decision at this counterspell, and I'll read what it does. Split Decision is an instant with one of the blue. Will of the Council. Choose target instant or sorcery. Starting with me, each player votes for denial or duplication. If denial gets more votes, counter it. If duplication gets more votes or the vote is tied, copy the spell. You can choose it. So if you're targeting a counterspell with this, you're either countering their spell or you're copying their counterspell, in which case you can counter their spell.
Yeah.
Split Decision, super cool.
Yeah.
I really, really like it. And again, 99¢. 99¢ for such a fun card.
Ooh, I'm taking this next card because I never see it played.
This is one of my favorite cards to play. I love this card.
It's super cool, yeah. It's Stunning Reversal. It's 3 and a black for an instant. The next time you lose the game this turn, instead draw 7 cards and your life total becomes 1. Then you exile Stunning Reversal.
There's you hear so many times when you're at a table, if I had one more turn, this gives you that one more turn.
Yeah.
And spades at that, because you get a whole new hand.
It's a lot. You get a lot. Also, fun enough, it's pretty easy to accidentally kill myself with Phage in this deck.
Yeah.
So this is like my like whoops card for if I need to, because you can definitely kill yourself with Phage if somebody just returns it to the battlefield under your control deck. There's so many things that are like, return a card to the battlefield, and you can kill yourself with Phage, for sure. If anyone mindslavers me and just plays Phage from my graveyard or something, you can really kill Phage. Phage is silly.
Your play groups are wild, talking about mindslaver.
Yeah, well, mindslaver or Worst Fears. I play Worst Fears in a few decks, and it's funny.
Yeah.
Then we've got Utter End, 2, 1 white, 1 black. You exile target non-land permanent. It's just good. Just really good. And then whoever wants to take this next one, feel free, but it is an amazing card.
I love this card. It's Voidrend, so it costs Esper, so a white, blue, and a black. This spell can't be countered and destroy target non-land permanent.
I love it. When you're playing against like a heavy control player, this is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Talking Brian and his Smothering Tithes, but yep.
I've kind of seen this pop up a little bit when you're playing against Godo too.
Yeah.
Goes to Resent Helm of the Host, goes to equip it. Nope, Voidrend.
Well, yeah, and exactly. Just the can't count. It's just such a good card.
Absolutely.
And then we rounded off with, I think this is my most expensive segment, other than the lands, obviously. And it's because of one card, as we mentioned, but it's my sorcery section. So we've got 16 sorceries in the deck. I love every one of them. Every one of them is super fun. We're going to start with Bite of the Black Rose. It's 3 and a black for a sorcery with Will of the Council. Starting with me, each player votes for Sickness or Psychosis. If Sickness gets more votes, creatures my opponents control get -2/-2 till end of turn. If Psychosis gets more votes or is tied, each opponent discards 2 cards. This is a really good card.
Yeah.
This art is wild for it, too.
I love it, yeah. The Poison Coke Ring?
Yeah. Same thing for this next card, Capital Punishment. It's 4 double black for sorcery as Council's Dilemma. Starting with you, each player votes for death or taxes. Each opponent sacrifices a creature for each death vote and discards a card for each taxes vote.
Rough. Rough. Yeah. Each opponent, especially like knowing I'm voting twice, like just at 6 mana, each opponent sacks 2. Each opponent sacking 2, and then if everyone votes for discard, days a sack 2, discard 3 to each opponent at 6 mana. Silly good card,
and voting at least twice.
Yeah. Also, the flavor text on this card is my motto in the deck.
Yeah.
I did offer them a choice by Queen Marquesa.
So this next one is Council's Judgment, 1 double white. It's got Will of the Council. Starting with you, each player votes for a non-land permanent you don't control. Exile each permanent with the most votes or tied for most votes.
This is really, really fun to convince people that, like, hey, this is already getting exiled, so you guys can exile something else if you want. I love to convince people to spread the vote around 1-1.
Yeah.
Or if you have the if you've got your illusion of choice, you've got 4 mana, exile 3. Technically exile 5 things for 4 mana. It's really, really good.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Next on the list, we have Damn. It's double black for a sorcery. You destroy a target creature. A creature destroyed this way can't be regenerated, or you can overload for 2 double white.
Yeah. I really like Damn. Damn's a cool card.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I said earlier we don't have any functional end the turn. This is what I meant by that. We've got Day's Undoing. 2 and a blue. Each player shuffles his or her hand and graveyard into their library. Draw 7 cards. If it's your turn, end the turn. So we do have one thing that ends the turn, but not in a way that will save us from our own phage stupidity.
Yeah.
Yes.
So next up is this is a card that we were kind of alluding to.
Let's go. This is actually card. This will end the game, but not because you've won. It will infuriate your playgroup.
This is such an amazing card. It's Expropriate. 7 double blue for a sorcery with Council's Dilemma. Starting with you, each player votes for time or money. For each time vote, take an extra turn after this one. For each money vote, choose a permanent owned by the voter and gain control of it, then exile Expropriate. So you're getting at least 2 extra turns.
Yep. At least 2 extra turns and 3 permanents on the board that you choose.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, and again, if you have Illusion of Choice, you've got that one. If you have your
extra turns,
it's really fun. So the way that I actually caused my playgroup to rage quit is I cast Illusion of Choice, then I cast Expropriate, then I cast Split Decision. So I chose how everyone voted. Everyone voted to duplicate Expropriate, and then everyone voted that I took extra turns for the first one and their permanents for the second one.
You're a bad person.
It was pretty silly. This deck does have like some stupid things in it, and the next one is one of the ones that I like the most. So this is my favorite win condition.
Yeah.
It's Fractured Identity. 3, 1 white, 1 blue. Zach knows exactly where this is going. First off, there's lots of cool things in the deck that you could give this. You could Fractured Identity a Horde of Greed if you wanted, for instance. You could Fractured Identity a Coveted Jewel. There's lots of things. You could also, if you so chose, you could do it on a Braggos Representative, and then everyone else gets an extra vote as well. Everyone votes twice in the Democracy Sphinx. But let's be honest, that's not really what this is about. Fractured Identity is specifically in this deck to hit Phage. Exile target non-land permanent. Each player other than its controller creates a token that's a copy of it.
Yeah.
Self-reflection is not without its perils. You can also, by the way, remove other cool things on the board. It's fun to hit other people's Smothering Ties and everyone get a Smothering Ties, but the person playing it, that's funny too. But I just like to give everyone a phage. I like phage to kill everyone by entering the battlefield in the silliest way possible. Fractured Identity is awesome. It's, by the way, Zach started this deck thinking that I was being nice. Each section has gone. I didn't plan these sections in any way. These are just the way I saw them scrolling. Each section has showed Zach that I'm a bad person.
Yeah. About half an hour ago, we were commending you for making a nice group hug deck.
Esper group hug, no way, no way. My next favorite one, Zach. First, before you take it, I have to explain. I do 2 votes for this when I cast it. I vote for who do I do this next card to? Everyone votes. And then I get everyone at the table to vote. Am I nice with it or am I not nice with it? That being said, Zach, please.
I actually like this card, and I've played this card quite a bit. It's called Head Games. It's 3 double black for a sorcery. Target opponent puts the cards from his or her hand on top of his or her library. Then you search that player's library for that many cards. That player puts those cards into his or her hand and shuffles his or her library.
I love Head Games.
It's very good.
I hooked somebody up with an infinite combo with this one, and then I Day's Undoing did away. Oh, but yeah, it's also really funny if like people have been drawing, like I'm sure every meta has like one draw player who specifically just loves to draw for me. For mine, it's me. I love to draw anything that lets me draw. I'm happy with losing your whole hand and like somebody just being like, I'm gonna go get him like 13 basic lands is really funny.
I've done that before.
Oh, it's really, really funny.
I was playing my Vatiel doll deck where it was only old, like old style cards.
Yeah.
And I head games a Jota player.
Head games is a wicked card. We also have Incriminate, which is another really, really cool card. One in a black, choose two target creatures controlled by the same player. They sack one of them. I really like this card.
Yeah, it's very cool. Yeah.
Next up, we've got Plea for Power, 3 and a white, Will of the Council. Starting with you, each player votes for time or knowledge. If time gets more votes, take an extra turn after this one. If knowledge gets more votes or the vote is tied, draw 3 cards.
Solid.
It's 3 and a blue.
What did I say?
3 and a white.
Oh, I wish this was available in 3 and a white. I'd lose my mind.
I didn't want the listeners to get too excited. I'm taking the next 3 cards.
The next 3, all right.
Yep. First, we have Rise and Shine, 1 and a blue, sorcery, target non-creature artifact you control becomes a 0/0 artifact creature token, put 4+1/+1 counters on each artifact that becomes a creature this way, and you can overload for 4 double blue.
Silly.
Nice.
Silly how good this is. This will overrun the table a lot of the time.
Book with a knife.
Yeah, book with a knife is right. That's the Tamio's journal. I should get somebody to edit it.
Right. Following that up, we have Sakashima's Will, 3 and a blue. For a sorcery, you choose one. If you control a commander as you cast a spell, you may choose both. Target opponent chooses a creature they control, you gain control of it. Choose a creature you control. Each other creature you control becomes a copy of that creature until end of turn. Super sick.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
And finally, we have Scheming Symmetry, 1 black, sorcery. Choose 2 target players. Each of them searches their library for a card, then shuffles their library and puts that card on top of it.
That is group hug.
Yeah.
It is. It's undeniably group hug. It's a fair tutor for the table.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, the downside is that, like, I'd have to wait until my next turn to get the card, but with so many clue tokens, I'm just getting the card.
Yeah.
So many clue tokens or, like, my temple bells or anything like that. I love Scheming Symmetry. It's so cool. And it's really cool artwork.
I really like the art.
Another honorable mention is Peer into the Abyss. It's hilarious to be like, who wants to draw cards? And then someone's like, oh, do I want some cards? And then you just peer into the abyss and make them draw half their library and lose half their life. That's funny to me. Maybe I have a weird sense of humor, but that makes me laugh. Like, so
you
so.
Have an awful sense of humor.
It's you got to do shady deals. I have to do my Shadrix deck. We never did my Shadrix deck. It's my Shady's Deals deck, and it's such a good deck, and it's full of that stupidity.
Moving on. Next up, we've got Slash the Ranks, 3 and double white. Destroy all creatures and planeswalkers except for commanders.
Yep. That's silly, because then you're almost certainly getting a hit with your commander.
Then I certainly smash people with the Democracy Sphinx.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good card. We also have Tyrant's Choice, 1 and a black. Will the Council, starting with you, each player votes for death or torture. If death gets more votes, each opponent sacks a creature. If torture gets more votes, they lose 4 life.
Oh my gosh. That's stupid.
Pretty solid 2-mana spell.
Yeah, that's so good.
Yeah, and then we end our list with Vindicate. 1, 1 white, 1 black. Destroy target permanent. And I don't know why every time I see this, I just saw somebody make the meme before where they moved the V out of it and the destroy indicate, and it's just target permanent. That to me has made me laugh every time.
I saw the, it was the one with Sorin on it, and it also edited out the flavor text, so it just said you.
I like that. But yeah, this is my mostly, it's kind of a group hug deck, a little bit. There's a little bit of group hug in it. Groupmocracy, I'll call it. Zach, you gotta believe me.
Zach just kind of summed it up pretty well.
You're a liar.
I really, really like this deck. It's been super fun to play, like, every time, and I like to play politics. For me, Magic is about generally hanging out with my buddies, or if I'm, like, out at a game store or something like that, it's about, like, sitting down with, like, new people playing games. Mm-hmm. And I like a deck like this where we're just doing silly things and, like, I'm making deals, because this is a good way to get people out of their shells. It's a deck that everyone has to be involved with. You're all voting and stuff. We're all voting. We're all doing politics. Like, I really like a deck like this. And that's why I justify my actions in playing this.
Whatever helps you sleep at night.
Yeah.
Killing the table with fractured identity and phage is hilarious.
No, that's super funny. I wouldn't do it, but like...
I'm not a bad person. I like to live with myself at night, but sure. It's, what do you guys think of this list here?
I really... Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, Salty.
Okay. I really enjoy it. I enjoy looking at it. One question is, did you consider Revel in Riches for this one?
Yeah, but that's like just too easy of a I win card generally.
That's fair.
And I can't find Revel in Riches anywhere. Everyone wants that. The Jund Dragon has just made that card impossible to find.
Yeah.
I think collection wise, out of my mega collection, I think I have 4 Revel in Riches. I can never find them.
That seems about right.
Such a cool card, but yeah, Revel in Riches is a really, really good one. It's also another good win condition. I felt like I didn't need one.
I don't want to be too mean, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I'm trying to kill people with a fractured identity. Revel in Riches would be really good. And like I said, as we were going through the list, Bitter Ordeal would really be, I think, the ideal card for a deck like this, because the ability to, the Gravestorm mechanic on it, it's not all targeted at one person. So even if I sack 20 treasure tokens or clue tokens or whatever they are for the turn, it just cares how many permanents went to the battlefield or went to the grave this turn. So yeah. with 20 triggers on the stack, which looking through this deck, I honestly can't see being difficult to hit. You can strip people's win conditions. Like you can neuter a deck entirely. You can probably neuter the table entirely with 20 targets of that, to be honest. Like the first 3 is you go through everyone's deck, take what you think is the most important one, and then you just strip important pieces. Like I'm gonna get rid of your Thassa's Oracle, I'm gonna get rid of your Lab Jace, your Lab Maniac. Then I'll move over to, if we're playing with Brian, I'm gonna hit his Brian loves a Smothering Tides, Seedborn Muse, that kind of stuff. Like for Zach, I'm getting rid of his Unearths, his bring things back from the graveyard. I'm sure there's a Sakashima on the list.
Somewhere.
If it's Benson, I'm taking his Witness Protection from him.
You monster.
No!
Not my ordinary or legitimate business person.
Benson just screaming on the sidelines. No! Yeah, it's Bitter Ordeals is just such a cool card in general. But yeah, Zach, what did you think of this one?
I thought it was cool. It's a little too... So the meanest deck I've ever had has probably been Negan, and I won't make any other decks that mean ever again. But this deck has a lot of really cool things I like about it. Like the voting aspect is so cool. I like when you get to take cards that don't get a lot of spotlight and you get to make a whole deck around them, and they're not it's not a bad deck. It works well because the commander is so functional, right? So getting to see all the cards that you're using is really, really cool. Like I said, Grudge Keeper is a card I would totally play, given the right context, and this is the right context, right? I didn't even know this card existed. So yeah, this is really sweet. I like what you've done with it. There are definitely some things I wouldn't play in this deck, but I would play this deck, if that makes sense.
That's fair. You could really shave this down to a very, very... Someone said before, one of the best compliments I've ever gotten about the show in general is that as a group, we all play unique cards. We make unique decks that they don't see very often. And I like stuff like that. I like using our silly we use, like you said, cards that you don't ever really see come up. And this deck, again, it's $300 minus the lands. And if you just strip out your Anointed Procession and Expropriate from the deck, you've got a sub $200 deck sitting here that's super, super easy to play and budget around. I think it's very fun. You could really easily as well, one that I considered doing was Beacon of Immortality, so that I could Beacon of Immortality false cure people.
Oh my gosh, you're a monster.
I just think things like that are really fun, and then Beacon of Immortality shuffles back in so that I can still use it later on as a political tool. I like silly things like that. The deck is very, very easy to play a budget version around, but there's so many fun things to do. Public Enemy is a fun card. It's an objectively fun card to play where everyone else has to attack someone else instead of you. I just like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So silly.
I'm glad you guys like my nonsense deck.
Yeah.
It's fun.
I made more decks with the new set than I thought I was going to. Like, I think I put like 13 together. Not all of them were from the deck. Like, I finally took apart like Admiral Beckett Brass and I just turned it into Malcolm and Breeches, and don't know why I didn't make a Malcolm and Breeches pirate deck much earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Malcolm and Breeches are awesome. Super fun deck.
They are.
Yeah. I don't know what I was doing there, but yeah, it's fun. Like, I got too many decks. I say like, oh, we should do a deck tech on that. Like, you guys don't have time to listen to that. We're going to take a month off work.
Right. Yeah. To get everything.
I'm slowly getting the list down. But yeah, no, I'm glad that you guys like this list. If you guys have like a suggestion of what you would do other than like be a fun person to play with, if you have other suggestions of like what you would do in a deck like this or how you would have built Tivit, let me know. I thought it was just such a cool commander option. I think I didn't really like the commander decks from this set. The more I see people build them, the more I'm coming around to them. But I personally wasn't super excited for pretty much any of them until I saw this. First off, it also just looks hilarious. Like, it's just a normal dude with a mustache on a Sphinx body, and I just think that's funny.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like this was the card that actually got me excited to build in this set. And then I came around to the Beam Town Bullies, and that's also hilarious to play.
Yeah, I'm sure it is, Dan.
These are my favorite kind of decks. Like, I just more and more as I play Commander, I like decks that force you to interact with the table. Like, I also made Verzi the one that gives opponents treasure tokens equal to the treasures I made this turn. That's really fun, but it's nonsensical once you have your like doubling seasons and stuff out. I was like giving people like 20,000 treasure tokens. It was just nuts. It was crazy. Bootlegger Stash is just a stupid card. I had Bootlegger Stash, and then I had Primal Vigor, Parallel Lives, and Doubling Season out.
Jeez.
Yeah, something like that. And then I can't remember what else I had. It was I was doing stuff like that. Oh yeah, Bootlegger Stash, that, and then I had like Helm of the Host on Jolene, because as I said, when I saw Jolene, I'm swinging Jolene's and playing Dolly Parton. I go to declare attackers, it's Jolene, Jolene, Jolene. And yeah, like it's so every time I do that, I make an additional treasure token. So I make one, then yeah, you guys get it. It just got nonsensical. And then I had like Awakening where I untap all my creatures and lands every turn. And it was being a problem. That was being an issue for sure. Yeah.
Golly. Yeah, we'll have to get into that deck too.
Yeah.
We got a lot of really cool stuff coming for you guys here in the near future. There's a lot of really fun decks I think we're all been working on. I have my Xander list.
I was going to say, I'm really excited to see Xander because I know in my heart you'll make it more fun than I ever could. And I'm excited to see that because...
Probably not. We'll see.
This is my group hug deck, Zach. I can't...
You have a point.
Yeah.
This is a deck I would look people straight in the face and say, hey guys, I'll play a group hug deck this game. I would give them a straight look in the face and be like, let's just all have a great time. So I'm excited to see how you build it. I also built Giada, and I'm happy that I got into that early because, man, those angels have skyrocketed. Youthful Valkyrie, like an uncommon from Kaldheim, is like $10 now.
Jeez.
Yeah, silly. Giada's very, very strong. Yeah, I'll rant. Oh, also, you're doing the Beamtown Bullies, and I'm excited to see that as well.
Yeah, I'm excited about that list too. I have both going simultaneously, and it's just like fun going back and forth.
I built a Beam Town's Bullies, and it was very, very fun. I lost that game aggressively.
I wonder why, Dan.
For sure. Oh yeah, I didn't even do any of the annoying stuff. I was like giving people Runescarred Demons and stuff. But the problem was I gave Connor a Runescarred Demon. Connor was playing Edgar Markov, and he went God Captivating Vampire, and it became a problem. It became a real issue.
I love Connor, but if there's one thing I've learned about playing with you guys. You can't give you guys anything.
Yeah, done. That's why we can't have nice things.
Yes.
Yeah. I couldn't even think of a bad reason. I was like, yeah, I'll just give Connor this. I was going to like just go around the table and let everyone have this Runescarred Demon because I had like untapped shenanigans going on. I was like, yeah, everyone will get a Runescarred Demon on their turn. Like, it's going to be a great like semi-group hug thing. Connor's like, yeah, I'll take Captivating Vampire and just start taking the table. I was like, well, I didn't see that because that's what I was untapping with was a Seedborn Muse.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so he just immediately took my Seedborn Muse and then just took everything across the table. He's a monster. He's a bad person.
I wonder where you learned that from, Dan.
Yeah. But yeah, anyways, I'm ranting. I'm glad you guys enjoyed the Democracy Sphinx. And yeah, Zach, let them know where they can find our content.
Thank you for making it to the end of the episode. If you like what you heard, you can find all of our stuff on Insta99.com. That's going to be your one-stop shop for all things Insta99, whether that be previous episodes, YouTube content, merch, and a link to our Discord. Our Discord is active with tons of members constantly talking about different things. You can find games, you can find people to play with, even trades. Like I said, if there's any card you saw that you would like to get for yourself, you can go to bizproxyshop.com, use promo code IT99, you'll get a percentage off your first order. And also, once again, if you like what you're hearing, please make sure to leave a comment, rate, and review. It really helps us out a lot. And finally, if you are struggling with mental health, please reach out to someone. The world is a much better place with you here than without you here. So stay safe and just know you're loved.
Yeah. Thank you guys very much for listening, and I hope everyone has a great week.